Today on the Wisdom Journey, we come to our last lesson in the book of Judges. Examining the last chapters of this book gives us a glimpse into just how depraved human beings can become. When people reject God, there seems to be no end to the depths into which they can descend. This passage reminds us not only of the destructiveness of sin, but also how vigilant we need to be in our obedience to the Lord. Stephen Davey called today's lesson, Darkness.
Now as we come to these final chapters in the book of Judges, we're going to be given a fresh warning that moral guidelines are not up for a vote. Moral purity isn't decided by the courts or church councils. It's determined by God. And that's because God created us, and God knows what's best for us. Now, let me warn you that chapter 19 is disturbing. It opens with a man chasing after his wayward wife. A certain Levite was sojourning in the remote parts of the hill country of Ephraim, who took himself a concubine from Bethlehem. And his concubine was unfaithful to him, and she went away from him to her father's house. Now, later on, we're told that the Levite had actually married this woman, but he had added her to his harem, his collection. And let me tell you something, beloved. No matter where you go in the world today, wherever God's design for marriage is abandoned, women are not honored. They become playthings. They become beasts of burden. They are not given the honor and dignity that God designed for them. Well, now verse 3 tells us that the man goes and he finds her and he talks her into coming back. And so here they begin their journey back home. That night they arrive in the town of Gibeah. They sit out in the open square of the city with nowhere to stay for the night. Now, villagers back then were expected to take in travelers as a demonstration of national unity. Frankly, it was a sacred duty. Well, finally, an old farmer returning from his fields sees them, invites them to stay with him for the night. Verse 22 tells us, "But the men of the city, worthless fellows, surrounded the house, beating on the door. And they said to the old man, the master of the house, 'Bring out the man who came into your house, that we may know him.' And the man, the master of the house, went out to them and said to them, 'No, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. Since this man has come into my house, do not do this vile thing. Behold, here are my virgin daughter and his concubine. Let me bring them out now and violate them and do with them what seems good to you. But against this man, do not do this outrageous thing.'" Wow, what a tragic, wicked offer he makes to these evil men. Verse 25 says, "But the men would not listen to him. So the man seized his concubine and made her go out to them, and they abused her all night until the morning. And her master rose up in the morning, and when he opened the doors of the house and went out to go on his way, behold, there was his concubine lying at the door of the house. He said to her, 'Get up, let's be going,' and there was no answer. Then he put her on the donkey and went away to his home." Well, now you can imagine why this isn't a favorite passage to preach on Sunday morning. Frankly, it's tragic, it's brutal, it's immoral, and it makes you want to weep for this poor woman. The men of Gibeah had rejected God's created design and embraced sexual sin. And in our world today, if someone calls sexual activity outside of God's design for a husband and wife sinful, well, that person's immediately accused of being hateful. Beloved, this doesn't have anything to do with being hateful. It has everything to do with being biblical. The Bible warns us over in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." And let me tell you, a million words of approval from your culture does not erase one word of disapproval from God. Now, back in Judges 19, instead of burying his wife, this man actually cuts her body into 12 pieces and sends one piece to each of Israel's 12 tribes. He wants to shake the nation up. He wants to wake it up to its moral corruption. And let me tell you, it's going to work. Here in chapter 20, the Israelite tribes immediately gather this huge army and demand that the people of Benjamin turn over these wicked men or prepare for war. Verse 13 informs us of their response. The Benjamites would not listen to the voice of their brothers. They came together out of the cities to Gibeah to go out to battle against the people of Israel. Wow, they're going to fight to defend these men rather than hold them accountable to God's moral standard. So what you have here is civil war breaking out. The tribe of Benjamin is nearly wiped out in battle, all except for 600 survivors. Now, nobody in Israel is celebrating this victory. They're weeping that one of the tribes of Israel is on the brink of extinction now. And they cry out as a nation here in chapter 21 and verse 3. O Lord, the God of Israel, why has this happened in Israel that today there should be one tribe lacking in Israel? But what are they going to do about it now? I mean, you've got 600 young men. They're going to need them to rebuild the tribe of Benjamin, but they don't have any wives. You see, just a few verses earlier in verse 1, we're told this. Now, the men of Israel had sworn, no one of us shall give his daughter in marriage to Benjamin. Well, now they realize that's going to hinder the rebuilding of this tribe. And the trouble is here, instead of going to God for wisdom, a solution, they come up with their own idea. And I got to tell you, it's also sinful and tragic. Here in verse 8, they noticed that the Israelites living in Jabesh-Gilead had not sent any soldiers to help them in this civil war. So they decide to wipe out this entire city, all except the unmarried virgin girls. How's that for a solution? Step one, kill everybody in the city but unmarried virgins. Step two, these women now won't have anywhere to live since their families have been killed, so they'll agree to become the wives of these 600 men from the tribe of Benjamin. And that's exactly what happens. Well, after the slaughter, the problem is only 400 young virgins are found after this battle, and that still leaves 200 Benjamite men without wives. So what do? They come up with another wicked solution. And by the way, there's no mention anywhere here of praying or seeking the Lord. And the new plan is for these 200 men to hide out in the field and then rush in and kidnap young, unmarried Israelite women who've come to celebrate at this annual festival at Shiloh. And this way, the Israelites won't have to break that vow since they're not technically giving their daughters away. And that's exactly what they do. Beloved, you read the last few chapters here in the book of Judges, and you want to go take a bath. Total defiance against God's created design for love and marriage and family. And what does God have to say about all of this? Well, we're given it. The very final verse in this book says it all. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. You see, God had not abandoned them. They had abandoned God. Now, as we come to the end of Judges, let me draw a couple of truths that apply to this day. First, whenever God's word is abandoned, dissatisfaction in a person's life becomes inevitable. In other words, those who defy God will never be fully satisfied. But secondly, whenever God's word is followed, satisfaction in a person's life becomes possible. And here's the promise to sinners like you and me who repent and take God's word as our guide. This is the promise of God's word as we choose to not be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds, what happens? We will discover that good and acceptable, that satisfying will of God for our lives. Well, until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That lesson in the Wisdom Journey was called Darkness. With it, Stephen Davey ended his time in the book of Judges. When we return next time, Stephen will continue teaching through God's Word and will be in the book of Ruth. When we record these lessons, we capture it on video. If you'd enjoy watching instead of or in addition to listening, you'll find the videos on our website and our YouTube channel. Use the link in the show notes and join us next time here on the Wisdom Journey.